Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two professional counselors that like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
Dive in. This is our therapy.
I'm so happy to be here today. I actually had a wonderful day and my week is feeling good. So this is a good vibe on my Monday.
We're vibing.
Yeah.
Like the cranberry juice guy
on TikTok. A little bit of update. Starting next week, we're actually going to be doing this on Thursdays, Thursday evening at 6:30 Pacific time. So I hope that doesn't ruin major plans. Why are you looking at me wrong? Did I say it wrong?
No, you just made me deep in thought.
Oh.
About that.
Made you deep in thought.
Yeah. Okay. That's what that look was.
Okay.
Well, if it does ruin your major plans, change your major plans is what I say.
Oh, that's good.
This is the priority.
Yeah. Okay.
Cheers. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Good to see you too. Yeah.
A quenching cider.
Mm-hmm. Check-ins. What you working with?
Well, we're laying the tile downstairs. I just showed you that. That's exciting for Skylar's bedroom/music studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping we're going to have a podcast corner.
Ooh.
And it's going to have nice acoustics because it's going to have like acoustic foam tiles.
Nice.
Now, I had to intervene on this purchase because the original ones he selected, which, yes, were very cheap, were not made in the USA, and then they were not fire retardant up to code. And all I was thinking of is that fucking station fire.
Mm-mm, that's why you built the window so you could crawl out of there.
Well, he's going to put those all on the ceiling. And I was just like, do you not understand like how quickly you will die if there's a fire?
Like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Max.
Yes. So we purchased some that have like the fire code thing.
And good. It's good job being safe. You're such a good safe mom.
Safe and up to code.
You're not you as a teen.
No, I would have been in some dark underground cave. Oh, I was. I did do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have a little podcast corner. We'll see. If it's too gross, like if he doesn't keep it up and we're like surrounded by.
Yeah, I'd rather not like smell.
Accoutrement.
Smell.
420
young boy man in the room.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Sounds good. Gosh, I don't think I like really have too many updates. What have I been doing with my life? Oh, I went on a little mini hike with my dog Boo Bear.
That's nice.
It was nice.
I'm really digging that it's light after 5 again.
Yeah, that is nice.
I feel like it's when I sort of like come back to who I am.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple dark months and when I'm just confused and think I should be sleeping.
Well, and when you have like clients all day and then you get down and you're like, oh, it's 4. Yay. And then you're like, I guess it's bedtime.
It's pitch blackout.
I'm going to stay inside.
Yeah. And it's so much to like
do nothing.
Go to the store and get something to make for dinner. There was a hate crime last night at the synagogue in Spokane.
Oh,
so
really?
I guess that's something I could check in about.
Yeah.
Spray painted swastikas and white other like white supremacy symbols up there.
They even
defaced the Holocaust memorial.
Yeah.
So that's fucked up.
Stop it, you big jerks.
I hate haters.
Yeah.
It's tough being a Jew, having that underlying knowledge that a lot of people hate you. It affects the daily life.
Well, I care about you, and a lot of people do care about you.
Thanks.
On a more positive note, I just wanted to say thanks, Jim Jam, for listening. We also got P-Dog in the chat room. We got Sacha. Sacha, why I read that, read it, even though I know what it is. Sachi, thank you for being here. And we'll get more.
We appreciate everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. So I got a second thing of kombucha, like a different kit, because I wanted to make like 2 rounds at once. And I'm curious because like the SCOBY looks different than my first SCOBY. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But
we'll
find out.
It's the petri dish that starts life, so
I'm
sure it matters. The origin source material has
to
matter.
Yeah, I mean, it does say, like, it's an organic one, but it was, like, split in half, which isn't, like, a big thing, but there was, like, some holes in it. Again, not a big thing. It had a different smell from what I remember the other one. I don't know. So either I'm going to drink it and it'll be poison, or it'll be wonderful, or it will have no matter whatsoever.
I vote for wonderful.
Okay.
And not horrible poison, because that's what happened with my kombucha.
Oh, you had horrible poison.
Experience. Yeah, it was horrible.
Well, and that's actually, that was the first thought that came in my head when I saw it and I smelt it. And I was like, this, I wonder if this is how Naomi's turned out bad. I did. I had that thought.
I think you have to have good source material.
My OG, like I peeled off the mother. So you have to peel the mother SCOBY from the child SCOBY after like 4-ish uses. And I did that. And so like I have like my own little thing now, and it feels like my little creature.
It is. It's a little Frankenstein incubating system.
I'm very fond of it. And now I feel like I just adopted this new little SCOBY, and it's a little rough around the edges. I'm going to try to give it the benefit of the doubt, give it a nice home. Maybe it was too cold in its containers. So we'll see if it adapts well. If not, I'm throwing it away in the garbage.
Talk about some anxious attachment for that SCOBY.
Right? That's my check-in. SCOBY babies.
Okay. I don't really have anything else.
Cool, me neither.
I'm happy.
Super Bowl happened for people.
I didn't watch it.
Me neither.
You know how I feel.
I just figured I'd Tom have to Brady. Throw that out there. Oh, was it one of his?
And he won again. So what's that? 7 Super Bowl rings?
Eventually. It's like when you say sorry too much, it just doesn't mean anything anymore. We just don't care anymore.
Well, and he's in this like retirement team years thing, you know, how they do that. Yeah. These major quarterbacks will like leave their main team and like go to another team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same thing happened with like Joe Montana and Steve Young. Both, I think they won Super Bowls after they left. I might be wrong on that. But that's the only team I care about. It's the 49ers.
Mm.
But I didn't watch any football this year at all.
I didn't even know it was happening. I heard there was a streaker.
Oh.
Yeah. That's exciting.
I heard Dolly Parton redid her 9-to-5 to make it more modern.
Oh. Look at that. Have you ever streaked in your life?
Yep.
Well, that was way too big of a pause. Eyes went up.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure I did at some point. Yeah. I think I did back in the day.
I've never streaked.
I think it was in living in California, like it rained so rarely. I think it wasn't just me, like a lot of people.
Was this actually a nudist colony?
Well, it was like Santa Cruz County. So basically, yes. I think a lot of people like to go outside naked when it rained. It just felt
such a weird statement. Like a big shower. Such a hippie statement. Well, I'm going to go outside naked in the rain.
You know my roots.
I'm from Seattle where it rains a lot.
Yeah, it's not special then. No, you probably don't go out naked when it's sunny. Like, no, look at this.
You go out and you're like, meh, again. You go back inside.
I couldn't survive.
No.
All right. Do I get to go first? I hope
Yes, you do. I am second.
I'm going to do the very first, my very first like part one and part two thing.
Oh.
Because this is a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have it divided up for part tonight, half tonight, and then half next time. And this is something I've wanted to go into for a while, but I knew it was going to like be a big topic. And I still feel like there's so much more I can learn. Like I've sort of just tapped the surface with this. So I'm going to talk about the unsolved murders of Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls.
Okay.
They were killed within 6 months of one another. Were you aware of
that? I know nothing about this.
Okay. Well. Okay, so that's Tupac. Just a little bit. 18 seconds of Tupac. California Love. Good song. Still a good song. So here's the history. Well, Tupac Shakur, if you don't know, prominent rap star. So in the 1990s, there's Suge Knight, and he was the CEO of Death Row Records. So this was the times of like gangster rap, and they were in the center of, do you remember like the East Coast, West Coast rivalry? That was like a really big deal back then.
Yeah, I'm sure I watched a documentary at some point.
So this is the 90s scene. So there's Suge Knight and Death Row, and they were pitted against the East Coast, which was Sean Puffy Combs, you know, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy. Mm. Okay. And he had his New York-based Bad Boy Records label. So these are mm-hmm. like the two sides of this East Coast, West Coast thing. And so there's this showdown between Suge Knight and P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs. He has lots of names mm-hmm. that ultimately led to the murders of Tupac and Biggie. So they were two of the most famous rap artists in the world. So here are some key moments that led up to that. November 1994. This is before Tupac was signed with Death Row Records. He got beaten and shot during a robbery at a New York recording studio. And by coincidence, Biggie and Puffy were in the same building. So Tupac assumed that they had set him up. And Tupac and Biggie were friends prior. Mm. So they weren't friends after this. Tupac much later, found out that, you know, Biggie and Puffy didn't have anything to do with the incident, but by then it was too late. So right after Tupac got shot, like the next day, he had to go to prison on sexual assault charges that he continued to deny. So 9 months later, now it's August 1995, Suge Knight attends an award show in New York City. So this is Puffy's territory. And with Puffy sitting in the audience, Suge totally disses Puffy and tells, you know, any like rap artists in the audience that they should come to Death Row, like if they don't want to have stupid videos with people dancing in them. And so that's like a big deal to do this.
So it was like the first move to attack the other artist.
Yeah. So like diss tracks were a big thing. And I asked Skylar, you know, cause he's into the hip hop scene, like, are diss tracks still a thing now? And he said, yeah, they still are. So I thought that kind of thing would have died out, but I guess it hasn't. So a few weeks after this, Suge Knight and Puffy end up being in the same nightclub in Atlanta, and an altercation breaks out between the groups, and Suge Knight's bodyguard, who also was a close friend, got shot and killed. And Suge blamed the killing on Puffy and his bodyguard. So now people are starting to die in this.
A lot of finger pointing.
This rivalry here. So meanwhile, Tupac has been in prison for many months. He's totally desperate to get out. He doesn't have the bail money, and, you know, his lawyers are trying to go for an appeal, but it's taking a long time. Some say he was raped in prison during this time, but he denied that. But regardless, he wanted to get out of prison. And so Suge Knight,
as most do,
Suge Knight approaches him with a deal. If Tupac will do 3 records for Death Row, Suge will bail him out. And so Tupac agrees to this. And some said that he made a deal with the devil and sold his soul to Death Row Records and Suge Knight. So this is when his thug image mm-hmm. really started coming out, because that's, you know, the image of Death Row Records. Death Row also had like Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg mm-hmm. at this time. So then we're in December 1995, and an associate of Puffy's was beat up by Suge Knight, Tupac, Dr. Dre, and other members of Death Row. And the guy that was beat up said that they were trying to get info on where Puffy lived so they could go after him.
Jeez.
After Tupac signed with Death Row Records, the rivalry ramped up through the music. Biggie had released a song called Who Shot Ya, which was referring to Tupac being shot and basically like making fun of him. And then Tupac released what's considered to be the most infamous diss track in rap history called Hit 'Em Up. And so on the track, Tupac says he had sex with Biggie's wife. Like, it's very explicit. It's not subtle, like abstract at all. It's
very much.
I mean, here's the quote: "You claim to be a player, but I fucked your wife." Like, you can't get any more explicit than that.
Yeah, pretty direct.
And then, you know, he also threatens to kill Biggie and other members of Bad Boy Records. Like, he's basically like, "I'm coming after everybody." Very explicit again with that. Not, you know, subtle. Like one quote: "We're gonna kill all you motherfuckers."
Direct.
Yeah, direct. So things are heating up. In July of 1996, a group of Southside Crip gang members run into a group of rivals, the Mob Piru Bloods, at the Lakewood Center Mall in the south side of LA. So the Mob Piru Bloods were associated with Suge Knight. And in their group at the mall was a guy named Trayvon Lane. So he's a close friend and employee of Suge's. And Trayvon was wearing this Death Row Records necklace. So it's like diamond and gold kind of thing, you know, like the big like hip hop style necklace. So you'd want to wear lots of bling. And these necklaces Suge only gave out to his inner circle. And one of the Southside Crips, a man named Orlando Anderson, sees this medallion around Trayvon's neck and steals it. I mean, there was a fight. It wasn't just like he snatched the necklace and run. And, so the word is, and this may be a rumor, not true, but that Puffy was offering $5,000 to any Crip who could bring him a Death Row medallion because he wanted to have it in one of his videos. Because like how,
yeah, it's kind of like a diss would like that be? A high school level thing of stealing the other school's mascot or something,
like the golden toilet thing that they have out in the valley here.
Yeah.
Or the golden plunger or whatever.
I feel like the other schools had it for a long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, can you imagine, like, if Puffy would have had someone in his video wearing that necklace? Like, it would have been a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. Those be fighting words.
So that's some of, like, the key things that led up to Tupac being killed. So now let's get into the shooting. On September 7th, 1996, Tupac was in Las Vegas with Suge to watch a Mike Tyson fight at the MGM Grand. Mike Tyson knocked out his opponent, Bruce Seldon, in the very first round, like he sometimes would. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you pay your $1,000 for your front row seat, and then it's over in 4 minutes. But I mean,
can't stop talent.
People like that about him. I mean, why should he pull his punches for the sake of a good show, right? To make it more entertaining. He's just bam, done. So Tupac and Tyson were friends. So after the fight, Tupac's in a really good mood. He had wrote the song that Mike Tyson came out to that night. Mm. And it was called Let's Get It On. And Tyson had won the fight. So really Tupac here is like on top of the world moment. Like everything's going his way. He congratulated Mike Tyson and then was getting ready to leave to get to the 662 Club, which is a club that Suge was opening in Las Vegas because he was going to perform later that night. And I read that 662, that number was chosen because if you're like typing out, and I didn't look at to check this, but if you're typing the numbers on like your phone, that it would be the numbers for Mob.
Oh.
Maybe we should check that out.
Oh, sure.
Let's look at the phone and see.
I don't think mine says letters anymore.
662. That's true. Does equal mob.
Does equal mob.
Yeah. All right. So that checks out. So Tupac, Suge, and their entourage, because you always have to have the entourage, are walking through the MGM hotel after the fight. And then Trayvon Blake, remember the one that got his necklace stolen? Mm-hmm. He comes up and whispers in Tupac's ear, and he points out that Orlando Anderson, the one who stole the necklace, is like right there, like across the room there in the hotel lobby. So This whole thing is on the hotel surveillance video, so you can watch the video. So Tupac immediately like shoots off towards Orlando and attacks him. And then the whole entourage, including Suge, get in it as well. And they're kicking him. They're stomping on Orlando when he's down on the ground. And then security starts coming. And so Tupac and Suge get the hell out of there. They're doing like a fast walk through the hotel.
A shuffle.
Like the super, like, I think it was like an Olympic sport, maybe briefly in the 80s, like the speed walking.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like trying to be like casual, but like as fast as possible, getting the hell out of there.
Casually guilty AF.
Yes, getting out of there. And then what's kind of funny in the video is that all the fans like notice, oh my God, it's Tupac. And so they're like hundreds of people are like following them Tupac, as they're fast walking.
After you just like beat somebody up. Yeah.
Yeah. So before Tupac left for the 662 Club, he went and saw his girlfriend really quick, Khadita Jones, in their hotel room. He tells her what just went down, and he said that she shouldn't go to the club because it might be too dangerous. Hmm. So his girlfriend, Khadita Jones, is the sister of Rashida Jones, who was on Parks and Rec and The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah, and daughter of Quincy Jones. A little trivia.
Is that the blonde or the brunette?
The brunette.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
On Parks and Rec, she was with the Chris Pratt guy when he fell in the hole.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was briefly dated Jim.
She's the one that dated like everybody for a while.
On Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know Parks and Rec as much as The Office. I didn't watch everything. So, wait,
are you talking about the, like, really goofy girl? The oddball one?
No.
Okay, okay. So
that's the blonde one.
No, not that one.
Oh,
the one...
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah. Okay.
No, she's really odd and
awesome. I like her a lot. Okay, yeah, so no, it's not that one.
It's
the one that I don't like her face
very much. It's the one that was, like, just... a nurse. On the show.
Yeah. She
and
dated.
On The Office, she dated Jim briefly.
Yes.
But then Jim dumped her.
Yeah,
to go
as
back
he
with
should.
Pam.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
Her.
Yeah, and she did date, like, they made a point of having her kind of be the person that dated everybody.
On Parks and Rec?
On Parks and Rec, yeah.
Good. Okay. So Tupac's girlfriend is her sister.
Okay.
Interesting. All right. So he warns her. Like, I don't think you should go to the club. So she listens, which is good because of what had just gone down. So Tupac was not a gangster, but he had just started a fight with a Southside Crip. So,
yeah. Eek. Crossing his toe over that line.
I mean, I wouldn't have done it in the first place, but I definitely would have.
Well, I mean, obviously,
a trip
he was
to
kind
the Bahamas
of
or something.
Antagonized. Yeah, to do it.
Well, I think he's in this whole lifestyle now. I mean, your Death Row Records.
There's expectations.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a thug. You're supposed to, yeah. So Tupac's entourage left in at least 6 vehicles. When I go anywhere, I don't have any entourage. So I'm feeling like this is a goal I need to develop. A small entourage would be nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
What would they do?
Everything.
Follow me?
They follow you. They make you look like you have people.
What if I just don't want people? What if I want less? Can I have
it's also security.
Negative entourage?
Like if you're famous, like security is in your entourage as well to protect you. You know, keep people away from you if you don't want to talk to them.
How are we going to address our thug life now that we're part of an infamous podcast?
Well, I think the first step is figuring out knuckle tattoos that fit
my little hands.
You have to have 8 letters. So
I have 10 fingers, though.
No, but you do just the knuckles.
Oh, just... Yeah. Well, I got knuckles on my thumbs, too.
I used to do in Sharpie, because I'm not a gangster. In Derby, I used to do Sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
W-O-M-B-U-M-P-U-N-C-H. I could do womb punch.
Oh, there you go.
Womb punch, sweetheart. We got it.
Got it.
Bam.
We're basically OGs now.
Entourage, we'll be seeing you outside after the podcast.
We have a cat entourage. I think that's...
Oh, that's true.
Maybe that's where we'll have to be satisfied.
Yes. Put your face in my face.
Tupac's entourage. So they left in these 6 vehicles. Tupac was in a black 750 BMW with Suge Knight driving. Tupac was in the front passenger seat. Tupac's bodyguard, Frank Alexander, followed behind him with a rapper named Yefua Fula. I think I got the first name wrong, but the last name is Fula. I'll just call him Fula.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that, this gangster.
It's Y-A-F-E-U. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Fula.
Y-A-F-E-U.
I'll just call him Y Fula.
Y-A-F-A... Wait, what?
E-U. Y-A-F-E-U.
Yafula.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yolufa.
So they take off. I'm going to call him Fula.
Fula? Really? That sounds cool. Insulting. Fula, like a fool?
No, like you're fooling people. You're a Fula. Not a fool.
A fool you.
So here's a picture. The last photo of Tupac alive. So he's there in the car. That's Suge Knight driving in that BMW.
Okay.
Tupac was a good looking cat.
Let's say a handsome devil.
So the bodyguard, Frank Alexander, stated that when he was about to ride along with Tupac in Suge's car, Tupac asked him to drive Trayvon Jones's car instead in case they needed more cars later to get from the club back to the hotel. Because you think you're going to bring in a bunch of people back for like the after.
That's what I do.
The after party. That's what I do too.
Yeah, that's why I have a Subaru so I can fit them in the back.
People close to Tupac said it was out of character for him to travel with Suge.
Hmm.
So they're headed to the club. There's flyers everywhere around the town, the hotel, et cetera, that Tupac's going to be performing there later that night. So everybody knows this. So here they are, all caravanning to the club. And Tupac and Suge Knight get pulled over by the police. It was either due to not having license plates or from having the music too loud. I saw two different reports on this.
Depends how fast they're going.
They're cruising.
Okay, well then maybe.
It's Vegas, so.
Got it.
Cruise.
But if they didn't have license plates, I feel like that also is a big thing.
Yeah.
Why didn't they have license plates?
Because it ruins the look of your car. You want a sleek presentation.
Okay.
So if the license plate story was true, then Suge had them in the trunk and just showed them to the police.
Oh, so he prepared to be pulled over.
If the music one was true, he just turned it down a little. What I find is very interesting when I'm doing research for the podcast or anything else, really, is how there can be completely different stories that just seem totally true, but you know both of them can't be true.
Mm-hmm. So, technically, he could have not had plates and had loud music.
And that's true. And so it was either or both.
Yeah.
But he was not cited and released. Two women in town for the weekend were driving by and recognized Suge when he was standing outside his car talking with police. Then they saw he was with Tupac. And so they're like, Tupac. And Tupac's like, come go with us. We going to the 662. And so the women joined the caravan.
That was great.
I'm not trying to impersonate Tupac. No, that was great. It was probably
the closest we could ever get.
Yeah. You know I don't do voices and accents.
No, we're pretty much terrible at most things.
So the women joined the caravan. They pulled in behind Tupac, cutting off his security. So here's this line of like at least six cars. Tupac was in the front. So these women jump in behind Tupac. The two women, after a little bit, decide that they're not entourage type or groupie type. And they still want to go to the club and check out the show, but they decided to get out of the caravan. So they pull out and to the right and in front of Tupac. And so they come to a red light. So imagine the red light and there's two lanes. So there's a random car not associated with this on the left lane. Next to it is the women's car. And behind the random car in the left lane is Tupac. And behind him is all his entourage.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay. So two cars at the red light. One, the women's on the right side. And someone not related to the situation. And Tupac and Suge Knight were behind the left car. So this all went down at the intersection of East Flamingo Road and Koval Lane. Tupac's bodyguard went ahead and pulled up directly behind the car carrying Tupac because the women had pulled out of the caravan. Then a late model white Cadillac pulled up on the right side, their right side of Tupac's car behind the women's car. Tupac's car was now completely blocked in with nowhere to go. Frank, the bodyguard, described what had happened. So he's in the car right behind Tupac. He said, the arm came out at that back door and it started firing into Tupac. When it stopped, there was smoke everywhere and the Cadillac just took off. So Suge had said that he pulled Tupac down. And Suge was hit in the head by fragmentation, but not seriously injured. The shooter had discharged the firearm 9 times, hitting Tupac with either 3 or 4 bullets. Again, I found conflicting reports on that. The women, being in the midst of all this gunfire, get the hell out of there. So they take off and they turn right. And
bail!
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, not what I signed up for. The white Cadillac taking off also almost hit their car because it also turned right and sped away. 2 bicycle cops responded. They're right close by and called for backup.
Doing their due diligence. Bravery right there on 2 wheels.
It's their duty. Frank, the bodyguard, jumped out of his car and ran to the BMW. He was sure everyone was dead with the amount of bullets that had gone into the car. But as he's running towards Suge's car, all of a sudden Suge's car makes a quick U-turn and gets out of there. So Suge is trying to get away because he doesn't know, are more people coming? Yeah, yeah. What's going on? So Frank goes back, jumps in his car, and makes a U-turn as well and follows them. Both bicycle cops take off and follow Suge. I mean, they're pedaling furiously.
Pedaling.
And then 2 members of the Mob Piru blood gang, who are part of Tupac's convoy, they take off after the white Cadillac and try to chase them down. And there was gunfire exchange between those 2 vehicles. But the white Cadillac gets away. So Suge driving the BMW, frantically trying to get away. He's jumping medians, blowing tires. It was like a miracle this car was even driving. So the BMW comes to a stop at Las Vegas Boulevard and parks right at the center of the Las Vegas Strip. So I've never been to Vegas, but I'm imagining it's a lot of lights and flashy neons stuff going on.
And apparently
a lot of people around. Shootings. Tons of people. I mean, there's a Mike Tyson fight that night. Tupac's going to perform. Sounds I'm sure like it was very lively.
Yeah.
So this, right here in the center of the Las Vegas Strip becomes this major crime scene. The cops showed up. They didn't know what happened. They see this shot up car. They see blood everywhere. So they pull everybody out of the cars. They lay them all on the ground. Suge didn't want to get out because he wanted to stay with Tupac because Tupac was still conscious at that time. The cops didn't know whether Suge had been shot or if he was involved in the shooting. There was just police everywhere. And Suge is on the ground and the bodyguard explained, that's the CEO of our record label. So they let him up. So at this point, Tupac's still sitting in the BMW. The cops eventually get his door open. It was like damaged from the bullets, so they couldn't get it open. And they pull Tupac out. They lay him on the ground right as the ambulance approached. And as he lay there, his bodyguard saw him take a breath and cross his hands over his body. And he said that was the last breath Frank saw him take on his own because he was, you know, assisted in breathing after that. So here is a picture.
We'll post this later if you want to follow us on Facebook, if you do not already.
Here's a picture of Tupac being loaded into the ambulance and flipping off the camera person or somebody there.
Tupac, as he's like dying.
Yeah.
That's some like gusto at the end there.
So there was some word out there that like he got asked by police, like, who did this? And that he'd said, fuck you. And that was like his last words he ever spoke. But there's a lot more reports that say that actually didn't happen. And that's just urban legend.
Yeah, I could see this getting misconstrued in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, Tupac is very still very, very popular. A lot of people love Tupac. Yeah, okay. I'm going to take a sip of cider.
Say, wet the mouth.
Wet my whistle. So Tupac's barely conscious. He's rushed by ambulance to the hospital. And the police start their investigation. And they're looking at people's tattoos or asking what gang people are in. Witnesses told police that Tupac and his entourage had beat up a man at the MGM Grand earlier that evening. And so the police and basically lots of other people assumed the shooting of Tupac was in retaliation for that event. The event hadn't been investigated by police earlier, right after it happened, because the individual who was kicked and stomped said he wasn't going to press charges. So at that point, the police had no information about him other than his first name was Orlando. That's all they knew. Hmm. Not great police work, I don't think, there.
That happens.
I mean, you got to at least get the last name in case something comes up later, like this. 20 minutes after the shooting, Tupac and Suge are at the hospital where doctors try to stabilize Tupac. A bullet had passed through his right lung, causing it to fill with blood. And doctors inserted a tube, like, from the outside through his skin and muscle to try to drain that blood out.
Fluid, yeah.
They thought Tupac was stabilized, but the internal bleeding was way more severe than they realized, and he continued to bleed severely internally. Meanwhile, the police are hunting for the shooter's car. And they begin to make a series of mistakes in the investigation.
Uh-oh.
Let me share these with you.
I didn't know about any mistakes in the investigation.
There's some mistakes.
Tell me more.
Here's one. Both of the bike cops took off after the shooter's car or after Suge. I'm not sure. But they both left the scene instead of one staying there to control the crime scene.
Yeah.
So they were actually there, and then they both left.
Like, they could have helped give immediate support to him.
Well, witnesses got away. Like, nobody was controlling the scene. So lots of potential witnesses were actually there at that moment, or just they lost even the opportunity.
Just, yeah, I mean, even just giving him, like, basic life support care, or basic first aid.
No, this is the scene of where the shooting.
Oh, like the actual shooting.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Because the bicycle cop showed up like immediately after that, but then they both left. So one of them should have stayed. The scene and like get witnesses and whatever.
Yeah.
So because nobody was controlling the scene of the shooting, dozens and dozens and dozens of cars drove through the crime scene by the time it got closed off. It was contaminated in every way and totally useless.
Tire tracks, all that jazz.
The casings left from the shooter's gun were run over, crushed, scattered, rolled away down into rain gutters, or disappeared. So no fingerprints were obtained from the casings. There was no forensics able to be gathered. So the evidence is minimal in the case.
And I do want to say, like, is there any... I'm sure there is any bit of this that is any racism in the sense of their follow through with making sure that different things were done or assessed?
I don't know. I didn't read anything that explicitly pointed to that. Ballistics evidence shows the shooter in the white Cadillac fired one bullet into the rear door, five bullets into the front passenger door, several into the front passenger window, and one into the windshield. The weapon was assumed to be a .40 caliber Glock. And one witness, Y. Fula, said initially to police that he could identify the shooter because he'd been in the front seat of the car right behind Tupac's car with the bodyguard Frank. And Fula said he'd been staring out the window on that side, so he saw the Cadillac before it even approached Tupac's car.
Okay.
He told the police right off he saw who did it. And the police, in another mistake, didn't ask him who it was.
What?
They told him.
What do you mean?
They like scheduled a play date for later. They're like, why don't you come in, you know, when it works for you and make a statement at some point?
Well, maybe that's a bit of where their lack of urgency is pretty obvious. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So about
who did it? That's all you, who did it?
Yeah. Who you saw who? It? Who, what did you see?
What? I mean, that you could get it in a 2 second thing.
Well, also like, oh, Tupac Shakur and Suge Knight curb stomped you in the hotel. What's your last name?
No.
Yeah. I guess it wasn't a curb stomp. There wasn't a curb, but it was still a stomping.
There was a stomping that happened.
After about 2 hours being held by the police, Tupac's entourage were allowed to go to the hospital. Tupac was in very bad condition. Doctors, in an attempt to stop the massive internal bleeding, made a decision to cut open his chest, remove part of his rib cage.
Oh, wow.
And actually take out his right lung. And they figured, take out that. That's the source of all this bleeding. We'll suture up everything else.
They're just trying anything.
But the bleeding persisted and the doctors couldn't find the source. So he's in very critical condition. There was just so much internal damage from being hit by so many bullets. So the first bullet hit his right pinky finger and went through his hand. The second bullet hit his thigh bone and ricocheted into his abdomen and then came to float in his pelvis. And then a third bullet, which maybe is the final bullet, but I saw other reports that he got shot with four bullets, entered his chest and became lodged in his lung. The Las Vegas police had a difficult time getting Suge Knight to agree to an interview. They should have held him that evening. So another mistake.
Yeah. But you don't have a choice.
But again,
sir.
He agreed to come in later. Like, I'll be there.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry. I'll see you.
Uh-huh.
Those aren't exact quotes.
Yeah.
So he stalled and finally came in 3 days later with three attorneys. So lawyered up. And Suge should have been in the very best position to see the shooter because he's sitting right next to Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow he didn't see him. And he wouldn't talk to the police. He said, even if he did know, he wouldn't tell the police because, quote, it's not my job. I don't get paid to solve homicides. I don't get paid to tell, unquote. So Suge did, he followed the street code and so didn't believe in, you know, snitching. So nobody's talking to the police. The police asked for witnesses to come forward. 4 days after the shooting, police were still trying to figure out Orlando's last name and who he was. The police suspected.
Whoever this key witness is.
The police suspected. And then the Compton police were pretty quickly and easily able to name him as Orlando Anderson. Orlando was from Compton. He was a Southside Crip. And at the time, the Compton police were investigating Orlando for another murder where he shot a guy in the head. So the Las Vegas police made the assumption that Orlando and his associates were involved in the shooting of Tupac, probably as retaliation for beating him up in the hotel earlier that night. Okay. Meanwhile, Tupac was 6 days into fighting for his life. He had lost so much blood and they couldn't stop that bleeding internally from the chest injury. They did a second surgery to try to stop the bleeding, but that didn't work either. Tupac died on September 13th, 1996 at 4:03 p.m. It was a major hit to the music industry and for Tupac's family and friends and fans. He was only 25 years old.
Oh, so young.
Some fans love him so much, they still believes he's alive today. Hmm. And that death was fake to put him into hiding.
To protect him. I've heard that before. Yeah.
So if he's still alive, maybe he's chilling with Elvis somewhere. Weeks later, the Las Vegas police were zeroing in on Orlando Anderson. So he's their prime suspect. And the Compton Police Department were assisting. They put together a massive gang search warrant. The Compton police did. So they arrest him, Orlando, but he wouldn't say anything other than he was not involved and he was the victim. Which, I mean, in that moment, he's right. He is getting beat up in the hotel.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to step back and look at the bigger picture. The Las Vegas police felt there wasn't enough evidence. So he wasn't charged. Las Vegas police wouldn't charge him.
Okay.
So he's let go. So that really frustrated the Compton police because all their informants said, yep, Orlando was involved, but there just wasn't enough evidence, apparently.
Because they didn't actually evaluate the crime scene appropriately. Like, maybe if they had, they would have found fingerprints or would have found something.
Something. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So the Las Vegas police had that main witness, Fula. And he had said he would give a full statement to the police, but it never happened. And 2 months later, he was shot in the back of the head. So this is controversial, and there's questions about his death. Was it an accident? So some records say it was an accident. It was actually like a relative, like an uncle or a cousin or something that shot him. And then some people believe that, no, it was a hit because he was a witness.
Can you explain accidental shooting in a car more time for me?
No, he was shot in the back of the head. He wasn't in a car.
Wait. Okay, sorry.
He was in a stairwell, I believe.
For Biggie?
No. We're on the witness, Fula.
Oh, Fula dying.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I missed
he that never had altogether. Given a statement to the Las Vegas police. And then 2 months later, he's dead because he got shot in the back of the head.
Ah.
So now there's no witnesses.
Okay, witnesses are gone.
All witnesses are gone. I mean, there are witnesses, but the witnesses that are alive are unwilling to speak.
Well, they're all scared that they're going to be offed.
Well, it's the code. You don't talk to the police. So people know stuff, but they're not talking.
Or you die.
Right. I mean, there are informants, but they're super secret squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can use informant information in court. I think that's just used to go find evidence or clues. But I'm not an investigator. That's just a guess based on TV. So it's really, at this point, becomes impossible to solve the case. There's no evidence. There's no witnesses. There's you got nothing. And then the only legitimate suspect in the case, Orlando Anderson, is killed in a Los Angeles area shooting. So now the Las Vegas police have virtually nothing. So thoughts on that, Macy? I'm going to take another sip before I round this up.
Kind of reminds me of the the episode that we talked about with Kurt Cobain and the shitty PI episode. Mm. Just about like the really bad police work around.
Yeah, that was the private PI that was hired and couldn't find him at his home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I see bits of that. I just like how, because the gang culture in general, how much that impacted both sides of that battle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I honestly don't know enough about it to speak to it more.
I've been learning a lot. I mean, I definitely have a lot more to learn, and I'm going to, before I do part two, like do some more research, but I've learned a lot more than I knew yesterday. Let's say that. So one theory out there was that Tupac's biggest rival, Biggie Smalls, had ordered the hit because there obviously is this rivalry.
But it does seem odd timing why, like in my mind too, I'd be like, okay, but this thing just happened and this happened shortly after. I mean, the odds don't feel nice to me. Doesn't mean it's not possible, but.
Good point.
But he's dead, so.
Another theory is that Suge Knight was actually behind the hit.
I was thinking that this whole time, but like, that's a lot of risk to your own safety. Like, I would.
Absolutely. Mm-mm. And the motivation for that was because it was rumored Tupac was going to leave Death Row Records.
Yeah, but like the shots came through the windshield. Like, if I was, and I'm not doing this, if I was ordering like a hit against somebody, I would make somebody else drive the car because I don't want any accidental. I'm not going to trust people to not shoot me next to the person. Like, and they shot from the side of him. That doesn't make sense. I'm saying no.
Well, you and Suge are on the same page with that.
Suge. I get it, because yes. That doesn't make sense. Because you would have died, unless he was willing to die, but he doesn't strike me as a man willing to die.
I mean, I think way for that is if he totally knew exactly when it was going to happen, maybe he had a bulletproof vest under a helmet.
But no, but yeah, he didn't have a helmet
and knew
on.
To take a dive, like, at the right time.
Yeah, I still, all of that, like, because if you think about a car next to a car, it is... my face to your face. I'm going to shoot you in the head.
And there's ricocheting happening.
I mean, and even if you don't think about ricochet, it's just the...
I always think about ricochets.
You'd be like, no. No. Drive up the other side. Basic 101.
It was on the right side of the car.
It was on the right side.
But still, in the front seat right next to Tupac.
Yeah, line of... The bullets are going to carry.
Yeah, and he did get hit by a fragment, so...
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that if a bunch of random bullets are being shot into the car, that I could probably die. And if it's to get at him, I mean, that
and it was
make
nine
sense.
Shots also. Like, that's definitely plenty to kill two people.
That's a I don't care who dies in this car number.
Yes. So you're and Suge on the same page. His quote on that when people asked him about it was, "Gotta be the stupidest mother in the whole wide world."
I agree.
That would think that.
I mean, there's no elaborate, like, you can't have an elaborate setup for that because there's no way to not be at risk yourself unless he wasn't driving. If he was
in the backseat, perhaps.
Yeah. If he was in the backseat, maybe. If he had, like.
Still a ricochet rabbit, ping, ping, ping.
But I could see somebody, like, rationalizing that, like, the line right up, don't worry, you have to get him in the car. Like, sure, fine.
Yeah, and but being not a trained assassin, I would be so nervous. I would just start shooting early. I mean, like, I don't know if I would be able to wait till I'm right
up,
next to the window.
Down. Yeah.
You know, because I'd be worried, well, if I pull right up, they're going to see me and... shoot me.
And the thing is, Tupac was supposed to perform that night,
which
would have made the record company money.
Yes.
So there's no reason. I mean,
it would have made Suge's club money. He's starting this club.
You wouldn't, you know, you shoot him after he leaves your record label. You don't do it while he's still making you money.
Yeah.
Or you do something. Yeah, you do something less lethal to scare him out of making the choice, but definitely not a bullet to the lung.
Yeah. So, it would be very risky if Suge had done that. Are you raising your hand to have a question?
No, I'm stretching.
Okay. So, the police ultimately dismissed this theory that Suge had Tupac murdered. And part of this, as a result of the stomping incident of Orlando Anderson and MGM Grand, Suge had to go to prison for 5 years because it was a parole violation. He was on parole. So Suge's going away to prison. Tupac's dead. Tupac's album, The Don Killuminati makes more sense, was released posthumously 2 months after his death, and he released it under the alias Machiavelli, and it shot to number one. It was very popular. So some questioned the police department, the Las Vegas Police Department's desire to solve the case at all. Compton police said when they went to talk with the Las Vegas police that they said, "We've been told they don't want us to solve this crime." So I don't know who we is, leadership in the Las Vegas police, perhaps. But without fingerprints, without a weapon, without any eyewitness testimony.
It's a lot of bad press on their part.
yeah, there's little hope of getting this thing solved. And part of that is because of the street code culture of not snitching to police. Not stitching.
Or stitching.
Because that's what, snitches.
Mm-hmm. Get stitches. Get
stitches. But I think in this case.
Or not stitches.
Yeah, so in this
stitches
case.
Get you casings, get just bullets. Dead.
Yeah, there's no stitching.
No. Snitches get dead.
So on July 2nd, 2018, a gangster named Keefe D began speaking out publicly about his role in the killing of Tupac after he revealed he was dying of cancer. Uh-uh. So according to Wikipedia, I looked him up.
Okay.
Keefe D, quote, is a member of the California-based gang known as the Southside Compton Crips, who made millions of dollars as a drug dealer, unquote. So an individual who ran the door at the 662 Club the night Tupac was shot said he saw Keefe D and his entourage pull up in the white Cadillac. Now, there's a lot of names and players in the story and next week, so I'm hoping that it won't be too confusing, but I plan to use repetition.
Okay.
Because you've tracked it so far, right?
Yeah, actually. Okay. Not too
good.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the door guy said the person driving the white Cadillac was a guy named Terrence Brown. Behind the driver was someone named DeAndre Smith, and Keefe D's nephew, Orlando Anderson, was sitting behind him.
Okay, so why is that not enough?
Well, it's just they're
to witness.
They're not killing people, they're just there. I mean, they knew they were there.
In a white Cadillac. In a white Cadillac after a murder from a white Cadillac.
Well, this is later. This is like a long time later after.
But he owns a white Cadillac.
Well, he rented it. It's a rental.
It's a rental.
I think I talk about that in part two.
Okay. All right. I just.
But this wasn't. The police didn't know it at that time. This is later that this comes out.
Okay.
Okay. I mean.
I'll stop being enraged.
No, if they had actually gone to interview someone at the club, though. I don't know if the club would have talked. No, but I don't know if the club would have talked people because it's the same code. Like,
I feel like somebody might have, like a fan, like someone in the crowd. There's a lot of
people. There's a chance for that. If they would have interviewed everybody at that club, somebody would have saw the white Cadillac and be able to describe the people in there.
Everybody's eyes are on Tupac showing up. Like, that's a big deal. Oh, there's his car. You know, like somebody saw something.
Yes, I agree with you. Oh, man. Shoddy. Okay, so these are all Southside Crips. So the door guy tells his homie in the club, Southside's up here, and he knew all his homies had guns, so this door guy's like, he knew something was going to happen that night. So Keefe D, who in 2018 starts speaking very publicly about his experience and actually wrote a book that you can buy for $20. I think that came out in like 2019 or something about his experience. So he said his group stayed for about 5 minutes. And Tupac and Suge never showed up. So they're waiting for Tupac because they, you know. So they left. And Keefe said they went to liquor store, they got their drinks, and they were going to go party. And look for, you know, Tupac later. But, you know, 5 minutes is a long time, apparently, to sit around and wait.
5 minutes
so
at the club?
Yeah,
waiting that he was supposed to perform at?
Yeah.
But, like, people are late all the time, and, like, the people wait, like,
I know.
15 minutes, 45 minutes, especially for a big headliner.
Yeah.
5 minutes doesn't make sense to
me. They got thirsty, so they had to go get some drinks.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it.
I would have waited longer. I mean,
I would have waited too, because like what would suck is like, oh, you left? I just got here. Where are you, man? Right?
There'd be a lot of that.
Yeah.
So Tupac doesn't show up. Tupac and Suge. So they go to liquor store, get their drinks, and they're going to party and then look for Tupac later. Meanwhile, Tupac and Suge are driving towards the club. So they got delayed. Remember, they got pulled over. So there's all these things that like kind of happen. So Keefe's group with Orlando Anderson in the car, Southside Grips, they pass Tupac going the other way on the other side of the road. So here's Tupac and his whole entourage coming this way. And Keefe in the white Cadillac is going the other way. And they said they only knew it was Tupac because Tupac's hanging out the window. The girls are yelling, Tupac, Tupac. And so they see him. So Keefe said, you know, his partner busted a U, as you do. They pulled up next to Tupac's car. Keefe's in the front seat of that Cadillac. Keefe said he saw Suge and Suge saw him. And, you know, they knew each other. So there's that recognition. And Keefe said the shots came from the back seat. And in this one interview that I watched, that was like 2018, the interviewer asked about who the shooter was. Was it Big Dre? Was it Orlando? Who shot Tupac? And Keefe said, going to keep it for the code of the streets. It just came from the back seat, bro.
Hmm.
So there's only two people back there. So his nephew and the other guy. So this remains an unsolved case. But I'm going to pick it up part two.
Next week. Okay.
And talk about the murder of Biggie Smalls and get more into like the link between the murder of Tupac and Biggie.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Jimmy just joined in the chat and said it was Suge Knight was responsible. But we just talked about how, so I don't feel like that was a good risk to take if it was him sitting right next to him and having somebody open fire. Like that doesn't make sense to me,
yeah,
at least,
yeah.
Because I'm obviously going to get shot in the head as well.
Yes.
By a moving car shooting.
It's too risky.
Nine bullets?
It wasn't moving. They were parked at a red
light. How many bullets, though?
Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And maybe if I was in the backseat, that narrative might change as far as like, well, maybe if I felt confident enough in my
I'd want to be fully laying people, down like ahead of time. And know
like
it's
on
coming.
The floor?
Yeah.
But like being lined up with where
but
those
but still, you get hit through the door. Like,
where those bullets
matter.
Would follow through. Mm-mm. So yeah. I don't know.
So it was really interesting to take a deep dive into this, or like semi-deep, and because I've heard these things in passing over the years that, you know, Suge took him out because he was going to leave.
Yeah,
I heard that it was because
and I get
he was
like
going to change his sound.
It puts the guard down. Like I do understand that Jimmy like we're riding together, nothing bad's happening, but he also hadn't left the record label at that point yet, and I do think that like he was going to play a show that night. Why not get paid? Why not do something like that after he leaves when it doesn't impact your monies and you don't risk dying? I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me, but I know there's like a million theories on this. So
yeah.
Cool. So that's part one. You're going to do part two next week. And
yes. So everyone's got to be on the edge of their street. It's my first like part one, part two.
Well, I'm excited to share my topic, which has literally nothing to do with your topic.
Well,
just so
we'll
you know,
see.
No connections at all.
Sometimes we find a connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So Jimmy, I'm jumping in here again. Sorry.
Okay.
Jimmy said, like, well, it may be a good way to cover suspicion. But like,
yes,
but if I'm going to die. But then he ended up, he was willing to like beat up a guy in that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Just earlier that day publicly in front of cameras and people, he didn't care about that. That actually ended up violating his parole and he went back to jail anyways. Okay. All right.
Well,
I feel unsettled about it.
I think everyone needs to tune in like it's radio next week.
Tune in
because
dial in.
All will be almost revealed.
All will be almost revealed
yes.
Next time. Okay. All right. So my,
what do you got?
I don't know how to segue this, to be honest.
you need a song.
I'm going to talk about rat torture.
What? What the hell? You definitely need a song.
Like I said, I don't know how to go from that to this.
What even is rat torture?
Okay. First of all, people are the cruelest things on earth, just to make that clear. Really, most creatures kill because of either food, danger, like territory, things like that. But as far as like amping up cruelty intentionally, we tend to really own that piece. Killing for like religion, politics, all that jazz. So we have a long history of developing really inventive ways to hurt each other over time. Exploring the topics of torture, this came up in my studies. I used to have pet rats. So
me
this,
too.
I love my pet rats. They're very smart. Me and I'm going to talk about some redeeming qualities at the end here. But
wait, are you going to say rats are villains? Are you vilifying rats?
No, I'm not actually. It's also a form of animal torture.
Oh, no.
In that sense, it is.
I love rats, too. I had them as well.
Yeah. Okay. So rat torture. Here we go.
Okay.
A man is tied to a table. A metal cage without a bottom is placed on the victim's abdomen. The torturer puts a few rats in the metal cage. The victim can feel a tingle, you know, the legs of the rats on their tummy. And remember, especially like way back in the day, rats had a lot of association with bad luck, with plague, with carrying disease. So people certainly weren't keeping pet rats.
No, they certainly were not.
Back then.
And sewer rats are like those big fuckers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll talk about that too. Yeah. So they're definitely not a fun thing back in the plague era. And to some nowadays, rats are terrifying.
To be
rats
real,
will scare the crap out of people.
I even think I'd want my pet rats on my tum tum in a cage.
I have to say, one disturbing piece of information I found, like an actual research study by an actual like PhD person, said that rats, not domesticated rats, but wild rats, enjoy biting people, and they like people who have been bitten more by other rats, and they especially like to bite their hands in their face.
Oh,
I didn't like knowing that, honestly. I didn't like that piece.
I wish I had a pet rat right now because I could bring it in and we could play with it while you talk about
so
this.
So I used to have a pet rat too, named one Willard and one Socrates, which actually comes from that old like 1970s movie. And I think they remade it called, it's called Willard?
Is I have no Willard? Idea what you're talking about.
It's a scary movie with rats. Scary rat movie that probably wasn't actually that scary.
I figured
scary.
Rats came into play at some point with that.
Oh, are you talking about Nim? Are you talking about like Nim, the rats of Nim?
Oh, the secret of Nim.
That's not what I was talking about. It may not be what you're talking. Oh yeah. Oh no. Yeah, Big Ben. Yes, you are thinking the same one I am. So that was scary for people that have rats. Okay. Anyways, I'm off topic. Okay. Back on track. So this metal cage on the abdomen of the person, they actually heat it so they get the cage hot. The rats start to rush around, desperately searching for a way out. The metal cage is hard to bite, but the victim's abdomen isn't. It's pretty skish. So the rats start to dig holes into the belly.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
They don't.
And they start to tear into the intestines. And this right around that point, obviously, there's a lot of screaming that happens. So they have found that rats can interrogate prisoners far more effectively than even the most skilled torturers, because even just the putting the rats on, after a while, it became common knowledge that this would be done to torture people, that people would tell even before the cage was heated because they were so terrified. So rat torture actually originated in ancient Rome. A bucket with starved rats inside, so they were starved ahead of time, was tied to a person's belly. Afterwards, the bucket was heated.
What's the heat for?
To make the rats find a way out.
Oh.
The bucket or the cage, they have a harder time chewing through, where the soft tissue is an easier exit. So the method was upgraded in medieval Germany, upgraded in a loose way of saying that, involving a metal cage that was heated with charcoal and perfected during the Dirty War in Argentina in the 20th century. So you'd use charcoal on top to heat the cage. So the first documented case of usage of rat torture is from the 17th century from Europe during the Dutch Revolution. Dutch leader, oh goodness, Diederik Sonier used rat torture to extract valuable information from prisoners.
I would tell anything.
I was about to say, if you did that to me, whatever you want, I would probably be lying. Like, whatever you need code, to hear.
I'll tell you anything.
Put some rats on their bellies.
Exactly.
I think that would do it. As would Dutch soon learn, rat torture was extremely successful. A victim would often tell everything they knew right away. We have documented cases of rat torture used by South American military dictatorships in Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, and Chile during the dictatorship of Pinochet during the Dirty War in Argentina.
Wait, doesn't that mean a bad word in
Pinochet?
Spanish?
Does it?
I think it does.
Is it because of this dictator?
I think it means girl parts down there.
How do you spell it?
Pinoche, maybe?
That's literally what it is.
Oh.
That's his name. That's his last name. Maybe it's because he's such a bad guy.
Maybe that's a slang word.
I'm sorry if I offended anybody for talking about their female origins.
I could be totally wrong.
Oh.
Okay. I just randomly... In my childhood,
it means vagina in Spanish.
Yeah,
it
but I've always heard it more like.
It's spelled different.
Pinoche.
This is Pinochet.
Okay, so it's not Pinoche.
I thought I did really good at pronouncing it too. I was proud of myself. All right, whatever. So,
I've heard it not vagina, but another P word.
Okay. So during the Dirty War in Argentina, a period of United States-backed state terrorism, right-wing death squads perfected rat torture by actually using tubes to guide rats into victims' rectums or vaginas. Speaking of.
Oh my God. Everything's connected.
Everything's connected right there. Oh, yeah, that's good. You can ban block whoever that is right away.
I don't know how to do that.
Do it. We have moderators. Garbage.
Okay, moderators.
Okay. Rat torture was also a form of animal cruelty. Imagine poor animals being trapped in a cage and forced to dig their way out of entrails full of feces. So obviously not good for the animals either. There were several other torture techniques involving rats. One of them was called a rat chair. The method originated in medieval Germany. A victim would be tied down to the chair. The torturer would put a metal cage on the victim's face. And then you'd put starved rats in the cage to eat the victim's nose, ears, and the face. Rats would simply live in the cage until the victim died. Could you imagine how horrible that would be?
No.
I feel like I have to restate it for
you. I can't. No, I know, because I was trying to block somebody and I don't know how.
Okay.
I'm counting on our moderators to take care of that.
Okay. I'll do it here in a second. You explain what it would be like to have a metal cage on your head filled with rats eating at your soft parts until you die. Okay. There you go.
I think that would overwhelmingly be bad, a bad experience for me. I think that anytime animals are gnawing at my face is a bad experience. Wasn't there something where they would put people that died out, like their bodies, to show their enemies, like what would happen to them, and like the birds would just eat them? Like back in the old days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like on sticks?
On sticks.
I think that was a thing.
It was. It was, yes. Yeah, don't worry. I blocked the dude. We're an explicit channel and it's stated as so don't worry about the spammer. Okay. Yes. Another variant of rat torture would involve cutting holes into the victim's abdomen and stuffing live rats into the holes. So getting your abdomen cut open and then putting rats in it.
No, thank you.
No? Mm-mm. Okay. Jimmy says, normally it was their head on the pike. Oh, yeah, like on the stick.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I was thinking like more like crucifixion level stuff, but that makes sense too.
It was like a message.
Yeah, there was a few people. I'm sure a future podcast episode will cover that more. Said this was just about rats.
It was like an early PSA.
Yeah, early PSA. Public service announcement.
These are all just warnings.
Do what I tell you, or your head will be put on a pike.
To be pecked at by seagulls. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was some sort of like desecration aspect too, about not being buried, something like that.
Yes. So. Probably not going to the heaven.
Yes. Okay. So ancient Romans used to tie a person down, open their guts, leaving a person to be eaten by rats. However, the problem with this approach would be that the rats would eat their ropes and help the victim escape.
Oh,
touche. sometimes they're there. See, look here. I printed a picture of it so you could kind of imagine the cage with a rat in it on your belly.
Oh, and I don't want to.
Belly rat.
No, thank you.
Okay. So the maybe most.
They would eat your belly button.
I don't like belly buttons.
I know, they have that weird tingly feeling when you poke them.
What? Don't poke it. I'm scared that like if you poke a belly button too hard, your insides will just come out.
I know, I think that too. I'm like, what if it isn't really sealed as well as I think it is?
You're making my body feel gross.
What if it untangles and unknots?
No, I think that too. Like, how good of a job did they really do? I don't want to test it.
On its own.
I will straight up slap somebody if they do that, like, I'm poking the belly button.
Nobody stitches it. It's just like a natural thing.
It's a natural healing thing. And if you poke my belly button too hard, my innards are going to end up on the floor. And it's going to be your fault.
Gross.
Gross.
I'm not going to poke your belly button.
Bad friend. Ew, don't do that.
I don't even poke my own because I don't like the feeling.
No, just fingers don't belong. Nothing belongs in there. It's a weird little divot, little belly button divot. This is also disturbing.
This belly buttons are also disturbing. Yes.
It's just like, could we not like, tie it off in a more artful way.
Well, mine used to be super hella cute innie, but then I had kids and now it's half innie, half outie. It's not as cute.
Oh, it's like an in-betweeny.
Yeah.
I have an innie. Outies freak me out a little bit, I won't lie. It's like I want to touch it, but I think it might make me gag at the same time. I can't. Well,
don't you kind of have the urge to poke it though a little bit?
Mm-mm.
Like the little bumps on the top of the plastic soda cup. I can't resist. I have a compulsion to poke in those little circles on the top of the soda all the time.
I want to touch it, but I don't want to. I don't know how to explain that more. I don't want to.
That's enough.
Okay. It's like your weird urge to chew on glass. I don't want to call it weird. I feel like that's stigmatizing for your possible synesthesia. Your urge that chewing glass would feel like crunching refreshing ice.
Thank you for not othering me.
I'm trying not to. I know. Okay, so the most common way of using rats for torture was simply to lock prisoners into the room full of rats. Rats would bite them, crawl them while they sleep, biting their face and hands because they like it. Seriously, the person who was bit more often by the rats would go and bite that person more.
Well, because word on the street is they're yum.
Word on the street is, fuck this dude.
Nom.
This guy right here. And often that would, like, rats just envelop this fear. Oh, gosh, I forgot about this part. I just turned the page. So this is actually how my search started. I'm going to show you this picture. Have you ever heard of a rat king before?
No, what's a rat king?
Look at this picture and tell me it's not the grossest thing you've ever seen. Okay, so rat king.
I don't know what I'm looking at.
A rat king came up in my research kind of randomly in the middle of my searching. Okay, look at the picture. Describe what you see.
It's a whole bunch of dead rats with their tails in a knot.
Yes. So rat kings are this thing. Okay, I need that back. Give it back.
I'm still trying to figure out what I'm looking at there.
Okay. So Rat kings are a collection of rats whose tails are intertwined and bound together by something like maybe a sticky substance like gum or actually getting tied together. This was alleged to have initially happened in Germany for the first reported case. So like this picture has 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rats that are like their tails are tied together.
So can it happen naturally? Maybe like they're all,
it's not natural
in a Scrabble and they accidentally get tagged together.
Well, that maybe, but I wouldn't like, they're not born with their tails like together.
No,
it's either
that poor rat mom. You can't birth something like that. You can't birth a rat king.
No, this happens after. Apparently this can also happen with squirrels. There's documented
examples.
There's a
squirrel king?
There's apparently a squirrel king. I stumbled upon this and I'm like, what? Never heard of this before in my life.
You're on an interesting part of the internet.
Okay, the point of the tails being tied together is it looks like this like ball of thread where their tails are tied together. There's no point to it. It just happens. Apparently sometimes they get tangled.
But then they all die. Right?
Well, they apparently can live for a while.
They would have to cooperate.
Yeah, it's like mass cooperation for a while until one of them pisses the other off and then that rat's going
to
die.
It's like one of those team building exercises that I hate where you have to like figure out what to take on the boat.
Yeah,
because only so many people can
fit in. This picture especially is 10 full adult rats. I feel like
if they could cooperate, they could live for quite a while, but if they don't cooperate, they're not going to be able to eat and they'll all die.
I mean, honestly, I didn't really like look into that part of like what happens then to the rat king. I just thought it was a gross thing in general. I just assumed they all died.
I think they could live for a while.
I feel like they could live for a bit.
If there was like a dominant one that was like stronger and could drag the others around to go to
food. Rats do have leaders. That's what we know, that like when they're in a pack, there's a leader of the rats. So one of those is like the rat king of kings.
So if there's a rat king, they could live for a while.
I mean, I suppose so. But how do they all get enough food? That's like 10 needing to eat at the same time at the same source. King
would have to lead them to.
He has to be a good enough king.
A bountiful king source
to make it work.
Or else the rat king, what'll happen? The rat king will be eventually dragging around 9 dead rats attached to his tail.
Yeah, yeah.
And then eventually die himself.
Yeah, and
herself. It could be a rat queen.
Right. Jimmy just said that. Don't get me started on a rat queen. I agree. I don't even think we should go down that rat hole. Let's see what he did there. The original German term Rattenkönig, wrong, sorry, was put into translation in English as rat king and into the French as another word I can't say well. The term was not originally used in references to actual rats, so this is interesting, but for the person who lived off of others. Conrad Geisner stated, some would have it that the rat waxes in its old age and is fed by its young. This is called the rat king.
Interesting.
Martin Luther stated, finally, there is the Pope, the king of rats right at the top. Later, the term referred to a king sitting on a throne of knotted tails. So it actually has like some historical things that like, it's like, oh, this is more than just rats being tangled in a gross fashion.
If I found one of those rat king snarls, my God, that was so loud in my ear.
That was really loud in my
ear. I'd be very concerned, is all I have to say.
If you found a rat king?
Yeah.
What would you do if you found a rat queen?
Well, if I found a rat queen, I'd have the same concern. I would think like, I hope
the rat
people
queen
didn't do this.
The rat queen would eat its rat fellows.
The rat king's like, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
I can live without a tail and just gnaw that shit off.
Yeah. I don't know. An alternate theory states that the name in French, which means a spinning wheel of rats, that the knotted tails kind of being the wheel spokes, with the term of transforming over time, which ended up becoming like we're spinning. Historically, the Rat King was viewed as a bad omen. Yeah, no shit. Most likely due to rats.
Oh my God, stop hitting the microphone.
That wasn't, sorry, that was just me laughing loudly. Oh. Sorry. I just imagine, like, if I found like 10 rats knotted up in my house, that would be the worst omen.
I mean, possible. I wouldn't think it was auspicious, that's for sure.
No, something bad would happen. Most likely due to rats being considered carriers for disease like the plague. Okay, yeah, makes sense. Okay. See, this is the dangers of going second. I've already finished my beverage, and my mic is too close to my face.
Sorry. Podcast problems.
I get, like, really into hashtag. It, and I go to turn in to read, and it's just right in my eye.
Then I just breathed really heavy laughing.
And a mic in my eye. Okay. So the earliest reports came in 1564. So it was a long time ago. Specimens of purported rat kings are kept in some museums. So they actually, like, keep them as a thing.
It's probably rare.
The largest well-known mummified rat king was found in 1828 in a fireplace.
How many rats in that king?
Good question. 32.
Whoa.
Dang. That's like a lot of rats.
That rat tail snarl is going to be like a ball.
That is a rat problem.
That is a big rat problem.
In April, I'm so glad I picked an easy topic. In April 1929, a group of young forest mice was reported in Holstein, Germany. So apparently, if you got a tail, you at risk.
So squirrels are at risk, mice are at risk, rats are at risk.
Yeah.
Has there been a rat dog king? I guess it would be not a rat.
Rat dog king.
They have tails. What about cats? A cat king. Ooh.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to look it up, honestly. A rat king discovered in 1963 by a farmer in the Netherlands. It consisted of 7 rats. All of them were killed by the time they were examined. That'd be me. I'd be like, dead. I don't know. I like rats, though. I may have a harder time with that than I think. But they would definitely freak me out. So it's actually pretty rare. One 2005 sighting comes from an Estonian farmer.
Googling cat king is a totally useless Google search because it does not come up with what I'm looking for. Just a bunch of cute cats with crowns on.
That's what I was imagining. That's good. Okay. All right. So anyways, pretty rare. There is a squirrel king. 6 squirrels were stuck together in pine sap in Saskatchewan, Canada in 2013.
Recent times.
And 5 juvenile gray squirrels were found in Wisconsin, U.S. in 2018. For the 5, the surrounding nest materials, grass, plastics, got further entangled, creating further issues with the knotting.
I can see that.
I'm glad we're a creature of no tails.
I have no tail.
I used to, like, not avidly, but I could imagine a tail being a fun thing to have.
Like you wanted one at one time?
I mean, I could just imagine, like, it would just display my mood without my face having to do much.
Yeah, like perky or sad.
Or like, rrr.
Yeah. Or askew.
Askew. And now it's like, now I'm tangled with these bitches? Really? Someone brought a dirty tail into the den? Nice going, Karen. Sorry if there's any Karens listening.
Fucking Karen, dragging your tail through the tree sap. Now look what you've done. We're all going to die.
Your sappy tail? Who does that? Karen?
Clean your tail. Wipe your tail on the mat.
Okay, so some possible explanations.
We do have a bone to support the tail.
Yeah.
So there's that. And some people have tails.
So they did say that some, like, century-old ones that are kind of hard to verify could be... Oh, that face you made at me. Could be fabricated, possibly. Could be a hoax for some of them because it's so old it's hard to tell.
Oh, like somebody got a bunch of because
it's
rats
kind of,
and tied their tails together.
You think of that era of, you know, when we did your podcast episode of the Welcome to the Freak Show, you know, of oddities. So potentially for some, but we do know of natural causes as well. Another possible explanation is that they were getting stuck together during birth and glued later to healthy rats, deliberately knotting themselves to weaker rats to make a nest.
What?
This is like intentional
murder.
Murder. I'm going to murder you by sticking your warm butt to my butt.
And sleep on you.
I'm going to sleep. You're my mattress now. My mattress rat.
I can kind of see that.
I could.
I mean, not that I'm promoting that. All you rats out there, don't listen. We're just having an academic discussion.
I'm just going to smother you with a little rat pillow. And
you can't get away because you're stuck tied to my tail.
Yeah.
Wait, how did the rats tie the tail?
Or a frozen substance. It's not tying necessarily. This would be an exposure to sticky. Or frozen substances such as a sebum, which is a secretion from the skin itself.
Sebum.
I didn't want to say it that way.
I've heard of the sebum.
Food or excretory products. The mixture acts as a bonding agent and may solidify as they sleep because they sleep close to each other during winter. Once they realize that they are bound, they would struggle. And this is when the knots would get tighter. So they start flipping around. And this is when the knotting would occur.
That's why you don't resist.
Yes. And this would explain the fact that it probably happens during wintertime when they're in confined spaces. Wrestling.
It's like racistly termed Chinese torture device, the finger things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like the harder you fight.
Yeah, if you fight, you can't get out. The secret is you go in and then it loosens.
Well, and one researcher said to remember that like ship rats, black rats, according to some theories, are climbing rats. Their tails are made to grasp and form holds. So in a panic, their tails are having reflexes to grab and hold. So it's tightening certain shapes. So it's not just like loose threads hanging out there. Like, obviously. Okay. So there's still skeptics about it. They said that there would be a lot of pain involved for the rats to survive that way for a long period of time.
Yeah.
If the temperatures rose or if they bit their own or another one's tail to try to get themselves out.
What are they skeptical about? They don't think it's real? They think people just tie these tails together and set it out in the nature and act like they found it?
Yeah, they're kind of saying, like, you know, how natural is it actually that this is happening? But they don't have better evidence. So they're leaning towards fakes, some people, because they haven't seen it happen.
Hmm.
Yeah. However, experts support it being cases of freak accidents with well-observed instances of it occasionally happening to squirrels. So they're trying to say, like, hey, you know, this isn't just like a rat thing that people are doing to as an oddity. Like, it's a freak thing that happens to animals with tails.
Tails are a burden. It's kind of like capes with superheroes.
Maybe that's why cats and dogs are different, though, because their tail isn't a grabby thing.
It's a what? It's not.
It's a balance thing, which it's a balancing for rats, too. But rats can also, like, use it as a mandible. Of sorts.
What about elephants' trunks? Is there never an elephant king?
I mean, I bet if you got it sticky enough, they'd stick together.
Let's not do it. I love elephants.
Okay. I like rats too. I don't like this. Okay. So I just wanted to end mine with some like cool facts about rats. One is the reason why they bite so hard and why they can chew through almost anything. And I didn't know this until I researched, but their front teeth is actually, the bones are connected all the way to their cranium. Like, so it's one whole piece from their front teeth all the way to their skull.
So they're biting with their skull.
Yeah. So that's why their bite force can be so hard and why they can chew through. They can chew through concrete.
Well, that makes sense because I've seen the skulls and the teeth are connected.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. One thing.
I think I have one in my basement, actually.
That's gross.
What? skulls.
What? Yeah, your skulls and your coffin.
I only have a small skull collection and none of them are human, so it's okay.
You do have a human coffin, though, empty, which terrifies me.
It's waiting.
Is this grooming behavior?
It's just waiting.
So, did you know rats take care of other injured rats and sick rats in a group? They actually take care of them.
I believe it, because rats are awesome.
They're awesome. Without companionship, rats get lonely and actually depressed. Like, they can measure it in the rat's brain. They get depressed.
So they're social communal animals. Mm-hmm.
They have excellent memories. They can navigate things like nobody's business. Super good.
My rats all got trained really easily.
Yeah, they don't forget things. When happy rats do the chatter, do you remember the chatter noise they make with their little teeth?
Yes.
That noise? Yeah. It's so adorable. And they often like kind of do this little vibration because they're happy. It's often called laughter when they play.
That's so cute.
Rats succumb to peer pressure just like humans. Brown rats are prone to disregard their personal experiences in order to copy their friends. The urge to conform is so strong that they'll even choose to eat gross food if they're in the company of other rats who are eating it. It's like a high school gym, or not gym, high school cafeteria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to stand out.
No, like obviously the cool kids. And again, there's a leader, so you're going to do what the leader says. Rats live in a perpetual high school with knotted tails.
Is that a click?
Yeah. Oh, snap. Although very curious animals, rats are also shy. They prefer to run away. They confront a threat. They're actually very clean. And actually, I can speak to that. Like, rats really care about, like, cleaning mm-hmm. themselves very much. They don't like being dirty. They don't actually carry parasites or viruses very often.
Yeah, a lot of people just assume they're all dirty, and that's not the case.
They're actually, yeah, they're cleaner than your cat or your dog, yeah, for sure.
I'd give them little kisses, let them stand on my shoulder.
My Willard would sit on my, I would play video games, and he would sit on just a little scarf I had and would just sit and lay there. He was old. He was a half hairless, so he looked like a wrinkly old man.
Oh.
Which grossed some people out a lot, but I thought it was adorable.
It is.
Did you know that a rat can go longer than a camel without drinking water?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I really didn't need to keep that water bottle as filled as I did.
They can actually like also like tread water for up to 3 days. So they can come up. This is a real thing. They can come up your toilet because they can travel down the drains and make it up your toilet and bite you.
Does this go along with like the New York sewer rumors of like alligators and 2 foot long rats?
Yeah, it does a bit. I think there's a bit of the folklore tied in, but just they can and they actually don't mind like the dark tunnel and it makes sense for them to come out that way. So if that's a problem in your area, then it probably could happen.
I don't want a rat to come up my toilet and bite me in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't want that.
Mm-mm. No, I always check now just because of spiders. So I feel like I'm okay. Rats are recognized as the vehicle of Lord Ganesh in Indian tradition. They are worshipped at the Karni Devi temple where priests and pilgrims will feed them grain and milk. Isn't that nice?
Ganesh is the elephant. How does the rat relate? They're
the
friends?
Vehicle of Lord Ganesh.
Oh, Ganesh would ride on a rat.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And also
an elephant on a rat.
And even the Chinese zodiac is the rat. People born in this year are thought to possess characteristics such as creativity, intelligence, honesty, ambition, and generosity.
What's your Chinese?
I'm a dragon.
Sign. Oh, that's what my sister is too.
What are you?
I'm a pig.
I don't know what that means.
It's all good.
I don't know what dragon means either. It's fine. Cool. Well, that's all I got for you today. Rats. They do grow.
Rats.
There are some rats that can grow to the size of cats. That's a big rat. I wouldn't necessarily want. Actually, maybe if I knew ahead
of
time.
If it was a pet, I mean, it might be kind of extra cuddly, but I wouldn't want to just encounter one of those in a dark alley.
No, or like unexpectedly in my house, gnawing on my face. Probably not that. Okay. All right. Well, until next time.
Keep your tail clean.
Whoa. That was such a good one.
That was a good one.
And stay out of line of sight. Yeah.